along a little bit, but I'll just read down to verse 6. We read this last week, and I think week before last, but verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And we talked about that, and Jesus being our intercessor and so forth. Amen. And verse 2 says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him." Now see, listen to this very closely. He says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we do what?" Amen. If we keep his commandments. Amen. And he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about everything that God tells us to do. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word truly loves God." Excuse me, let me back up on verse 5. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." Hallelujah. You see where he's trying to get us established, settled in God. God doesn't want us all over the place. Believe one thing today and something else tomorrow, and whatever is coming down the pipe, that's what we grab a hold of. And we'll find out as we go along in this book that he's going to caution us about false prophets, false teachers, people that would try to distract you from the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Because you have to understand how the enemy works. Jesus defeated him thoroughly. He is defeated. But he's going to hang around for a little while, which I believe his time is growing short. But he's going to hang around for a little while until his time is up. And there is a time that he's done. And mankind would never have to deal with him anymore. Hallelujah. And I could go into all that, but it would take me too long. So I'm going to move right along. But this is verse 5 again. "Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to do what? Walk just as he walked." Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now let's go on into verse 7. He says, the word of God says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." Let's move and go on. "And a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Hallelujah. You still with me? You hanging in there? Let's go on to verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother or sister is in darkness until now. What I just read Word of God's letting us know that the time is very, very short. And you've heard me say it many times, others have said it. We are living in the last of the last days. Now, there never was a time for it, but I want to tell you something, especially right now in the time that we're living in, we need to put away all the foolishness. Amen. All the mess. And walk in love as God has commanded us to do. Amen. You're still here. Amen. He lets us know that time is drawing to an end. Verse 9 again. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is where? I didn't write the book, folks. This is the word of God. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. Glory to God. Turn in your Bible, and you can put it on the screen for me, if you would, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus gave us a commandment. John 13, 34. Hallelujah. And this is Jesus speaking here. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You see that? That's what Jesus said. I said, that's what Jesus said. Verse 35. And this is Jesus speaking now. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you do what? If you love one another. Now, right here, I'm talking about the family of God. Now, we're supposed to love everybody. Am I right? Amen. Of course we are. We are supposed to love everybody, but God wants his family tight. Are you listening to me? God wants his family tight because the world is watching, and we have been called to reach the world. We are supposed to be a testimony to the world of what Jesus wants for them. But if we have fighting and arguing and carrying on among ourselves, what's the world going to do? They're going to laugh at us. Ha, 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 them Christians, look at them. Fussing, fighting, can't get along. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. I'm not going to read this entire chapter, at least I don't plan to. But I want to begin at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, yes, I'm a tongue talker, baptized with the Holy Ghost, moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Seeing God move in my midst. Laying hands on the sick, seeing them get healed. And on and on and on. And those things are very good. Matter of fact, we've been commanded by God to do those things. To lay hands on the sick. Amen. We should be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. Amen. Amen. We should do those things. We should have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 again and say, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, you're just making noise. Let's read another one. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, finish that, three words. I am nothing. That's the reason some of the men and women that God used them mightily. I mean, miracles after miracle after miracle, because God honors his word. Amen. God honors his word. And not only that, he honors the call upon our lives that he has given us. But if we don't walk in love, Word of God says it's nothing. And I've been around a while, and I've heard stories stories of great men, women, that God used mightily. But their personal lives were in a mess. Some of them would argue with one another, compete with one another. Do you know we should not be competing with one another in the body of Christ? Amen. I refuse to compete with another ministry or another church. They could have 1,000 and we have 20. The true word of God. Glory to God. If people are being healed and set free, and not just physically, but receiving the word of God. Because sometimes, you know, folks will follow miracles, but yet the word that they're receiving is weak. In other words, let me say it a little different way. They're following the gift. Thank God for gifts. As a pastor, I'm responsible to God to live right before you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm responsible to God to live right before you, because I'm going to have to answer to God for my service, for my ministry. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, I'm a man that fear God. And I don't want to be playing around, not messing around. I can get a million people born again, but I still have to get my own personal life in order. Amen. And I have to walk in love towards my brothers and my sisters. Amen. Anybody listening tonight?
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus stressed, is love for one another. And that's what the Apostle John is stressing, love for one another. Let me read on here. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. How many of you know that's a good thing?
Amen.
How many of you know that's what we should be doing?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God we are doing it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So that means you can do these things and still walk in strife with your fellow brethren. Ministries competing with each other. Well, you know, we fed 500 people. Well, that ain't nothing. We fed 600. Now, I got it on both of you. We fed 1,000. Now what we need to do is be rejoicing together.
Amen.
That we were able to be a blessing. And do what God has commanded us to do. He didn't tell us to compete with one another. He said, go and do what I tell you.
Amen.
Drop down to verse 8. Love never fails. You see that? Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. In other words, they'll cease. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, in other words, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge and so forth, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. Hallelujah. Listen, I'll just read the next three verses. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let that sink in for a moment. He's using a natural thing to describe a spiritual thing. We know how we were when we were young, when we were children, but when we became adults, we don't act like children anymore, or we shouldn't, right?
Amen.
Let's look at that on the spiritual side. When we were spiritual babies, we acted in certain ways. But what he's telling us is to grow up, mature spiritually. And the best way to do that is to walk in love with your brothers and your sisters in obedience to God's word. Verse 12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but I shall know just as I am known. Now this is really where I'm going right here. Verse 13. It says, and now abide faith, hope, love. The King James, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The regular King James Version say charity, but it means love. Let me read it again. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But that's not the end of the verse, is it? But the greatest of these is what?
Love.
The greatest of these is love. But now let's look at that a little bit closer. Now abides faith, hope, and love. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Briefly, I want to talk about all three of these. Hebrews 11, the very first verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what do we see here? The Bible is telling us. First of all, concerning faith, it says faith is substance. And not just substance, but it is also evidence. Which means that we read the word of God, we hear the word of God, and by faith we walk in that word. Even though we cannot see with our physical eye. And the real evidence of that is our walk today. You know what? I know that I'm going to be with the Lord when I leave this earth, whether it be by way of the catching away of the church or whether it be by way of the grave. Whichever way it is, I know where I'm going because of my what? Faith. Because it was by faith that I received Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. It was by faith that I asked him in and invited him in. And I took him at his word. You're still here. My spirit is not in heaven yet. But I have the guarantee because I have the substance and the evidence. And that is my faith. And I show, listen to this, I show evidence of my faith by my actions. Amen. If you believe a thing, you're going to act accordingly. Amen. If you believe a thing, you're going to conduct your life accordingly. Therefore, I don't have to see it with my natural eyes. I know heaven exists. I know my Lord and Savior is there, seated on the right hand of God the Father. And I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now, what I don't know, and you don't either, in the Lamb's Book of Life, is it written James Redfern Jr.? Because that's my earthly name. And actually, I can legally have that changed. Now, I believe there's a new name up there.
Amen.
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 I just believe Jimmy is my earthly name so that everybody on earth would know me. But, you know, nevertheless, this I do know. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But now, he said, now abide faith, and the next thing is hope. And hope, you've heard me say it, hope is the happy expectation of good. I know I'm saved by my faith. I believe what he said. And now I'm living in hope, and you are too. It's looking forward to that day when we'll be with him. But now, but listen to this. We can walk by faith and hope while we're still here on earth. Now, I'm just referring to our salvation, you know, being born again. But you know, when we pray, we should pray the prayer of faith, right?
Yes.
While we should pray the prayer of faith and then live in hope, expecting to see the manifestation of what we prayed for.
Yes.
You still here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All of God's promises belong to us. And we need to receive them by faith and walk in them, even though what we need may not have manifested at that particular time, we still know it's happening.
That's right.
We know it's happening.
Amen.
Because God cannot lie.
Amen.
You hear me? God cannot lie. That's not his nature. He's not a liar. He's a God of truth.
Amen.
Amen. So we have faith. We have hope. And then there's love. And the Bible says that the greatest of the three is love. The greatest of the three is love. And we could go a bunch of places and find it, but I want to go somewhere where all of us are familiar with the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. You probably can quote it by heart, but I'll let them put it on the screen. All right. It says, and God is our example, isn't it? He says, for God so loved the world that did not love him. Now, I put that in there because it didn't. That's not written up there. God loved a world that did not love him, that were caught up in their sins and their mess. But God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saw mankind, heading for destruction, for eternal destruction. Some of them were cursing God, acting real. I mean, if you want to know, just read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Some of those folks was a mess. And it's still that way today. But love says this: I love you, and I want to help you regardless of where you are.
Amen.
Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you've done, I still love you and I want to help you. And we see this. Let's go back. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians here a minute. I'm getting ready to close shortly. But I want to go back to 1 Corinthians and show you something. And God wants us to operate the same way. 1 Corinthians 13, let's go back there a minute. Look at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things, and as I read earlier, love never fails. And I'll probably conclude right there for tonight, but I want to say this. Brothers and sisters, let us love one another in our imperfection. All of us are growing together. Let's love each other. That is a commandment from the chief shepherd of the church.
Amen.
Let me say that again. That is a commandment from the chief shepherd of the church.
Amen.
In Proverbs, it tells us one of the things that God hates is one that causes discord among the brethren. If you want a solid, stable church, be a loving church.
Amen.
Be a loving church. Be willing to pray for those that rub you the wrong way.
Amen.
Oh, let me say that one again. Be willing to pray for those that rub you the wrong way.
Amen.
Even if in the natural you like to take them down behind the woodshed and show them a thing or two, no, that's not the answer. We are to pray for them.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We are to pray for them. If Jesus can pray for the very men that crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. He prayed for them. He asked God to forgive them. If he can do that, we sure can pray for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God. That is the secret to stability in Christ. Being stable in Christ. And being a vessel that God can use. Because let me tell you something. I'm closing here. But if we are hateful and spiteful, God's not going to turn us loose on just anybody. You know, we pray, Lord, use me, use me, use me, use me. And God's response is, get yourself in a position so that I can use you, because I want to use you.
Amen.
I want to use you. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for that word will never return to you void. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. May we shine bright. And may we season well. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. If you're watching us by way of the internet, excuse me, and you're not born again, and you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray this prayer with you right now. I want to lead you in this prayer. I want you to know He loves you and He cares about you so much. As you heard me say earlier, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for you. He rose for you. All you have to do right now is by faith invite Him into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. And He'll come in. Receive Him by faith. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. But I want you to pray it to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's right there with you. Wherever you are, He is right there with you. I'm just helping you pray, but you say this to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, come on, say it. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the only begotten Son of God. And I believe that You came to the earth and lived here on this earth. You were crucified on the cross, died and was buried, rose again on the third day, and You did it so that I could be born again. You did it so that I could have eternal life. Come into my life right now, Jesus. I receive You as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I receive eternal life right now. I thank You for it, Lord. Right now, say this, right now by faith, I confess that I am born again because Jesus is in.